Okay, final hour to go with Paul Gercio. We'll take your phone calls with him. We'll talk about a few other time tracks when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Wanted to read a quick email from Jacqueline. It says, well, George, I read the sample of your book on my Kindle, that's Night Talk, and was able to get it from Amazon. I think what I've read so far is fantastic. It's a page-turner that cannot be put down. I look forward to reading the rest. Well, thank you, Jacqueline. I really appreciate it. Yep, it's out, Night Talk. It's an incredible story. It's a novel, and you can pick it up at bookstores or Amazon.com, and I hope you enjoy the read. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Paul Gercio with us. Paul, I went on to Instagram, and I've got a look at some of these tracks. I like the Instagram look. It's really something.
You know what's interesting about it, George? When you look at the whole panoply of these things, your eye immediately jumps to certain ones because there's a lot of yellow. Okay, there's a lot of yellow showing up. And you could actually, you know, break these down and say, well, the ones that have the most yellow, you know, and continuously across the whole page, there's where the activity is. That's somebody with his stuff going on. Okay. And on the other hand, the people where that's not the case, like Jeb Bush, for instance, or John Kasich, look at the two of them.
Nothing.
They almost look identical, and they're not going anywhere. There's nothing going on. And of course, there was nothing going on. So, I mean, it's very easy to see where there was going to be activity and where there wasn't going to be activity, and then make a call. You know, I keep hearing that the audience out there is all upset that we were wrong about Bernie. Yes, we were wrong about Bernie, partly because there was an attempt to divert the voting from Hillary. Okay, we didn't know that was going to go on. We had no idea. That's not something time tracks do, and we're not psychics. Okay, we're dealing with mathematics here. This is a mathematical system that basically eliminates, you know, the vast majority of non-players and focuses in on those people who are going to be the players in a given situation.
Okay, but shouldn't Merlin, though, see the event that, for example, if somebody here dies, I assume you're going to have a very thin time track. That's something that you can't control, but it has happened. So in this particular case with Bernie, why couldn't you see the tampering that they did to try to get him out?
Because that's not what it does. Okay, that's what I would call extenuating circumstances. Okay, you can't see that. That's not part of the game. It would be nice if it was, because it would improve our batting average a little bit. But you know, to have had, you know, 23 or 25 people running for president, and eliminate everybody except three, and have it be the right three, how do you get better than that?
That's good. But me, even looking at Bernie's time track, I wouldn't have, and I think I jumped in between you and George. I said, I don't think Bernie's going to get the nomination. Remember that?
Well, you know, he's a 74-year-old man who's not even a Democrat, who's a socialist, okay? You know, there were all sorts of reasons why Bernie shouldn't have even gotten as far as he got. But when we looked at these things and we compared those people who we thought were going to be major players in this, Bernie ended up having the best time track of anybody, except maybe, and you can look at these, Chris Christie and Carly Fiorina. Let's see, Lindsey Graham had a really good time track. And then on a slightly lower tier, a little bit lower tier, there was Marco Rubio, who had a reasonably good time track. But all of the people who were thought to be the front runners, the Jeb Bushes and
clearly Merlin shows that they were going to amount to nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what we're really doing is we're comparing all of those one to the next and say, well, this isn't going anywhere, and this isn't going anywhere, and this isn't going anywhere, and we're trying to figure out who is going someplace of in this case, 23 or 24 players, and the people we picked out, two of them were the least likely people that were running, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders.
Looks like Vladimir Putin's career kind of takes a nosedive in about a year.
That's right. About a year, year and a half. That's exactly
interesting
right.
Take. Let's take some calls here for you, Paul. As they line up again, Steve, truck driving in Kansas City. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello. We are the Creatures of the Night. Salute you, George.
Thank you, Stephen.
Actually, it's Keith, by the way.
How did you become Steve?
Because the your call screener probably thought I said Steve.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, it happens once in a while.
It happens to him. That's true.
Okay, so what is
anybody,
it?
It's Keith.
I don't know anybody would be surprised that Donald Trump's not going to be the president because anyone with a memory who remembers Ross Perot back in 92 and 96, she sounds just like him. It's that same kind of redneck conservative kind of a message that, you know, it doesn't play well across the board. It only plays to a small audience. And
if Donald was only as intelligent as Russ Perot was, okay, with all of those graphs and everything, he might be going someplace. He doesn't know anything. That's the problem.
Well,
he doesn't know anything about foreign affairs, about who's running what countries. I mean, this week it was, you know, the Soviets are not in the Ukraine. Of course they are. You know, where's he been? Okay, the last person who made a mistake like that was Gerald Ford.
And he didn't get elected.
He didn't get elected. That's right.
Next up, let's go to Tom in Port Angeles, Washington. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tom.
Hello, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I told the call screener that I think Donald Trump is going to win this thing by double digits, and the first digit is either a 3 or a 4. I'm a little hazy on the second.
Well, no, if it's a 3, that's miraculous, because you got to have more than 40%. You got to have closer to 50.
You bet.
So that means something's going to happen.
So when we say a candidate's going to win by double digits, it could be like 99, couldn't it?
Though it'll never happen, but you're right.
Well, of course, all right. I've been listening to these gentlemen on your show since they got started. I've been listening for like 20 years.
It's almost that long.
I don't remember once that you guys ever really nailed anything. So, this is the pearl I've got for you.
All right, go ahead.
I've got for everybody out there, too. The electorate and the voters that are coming up to vote in this election, we know who the enemy is, and it's the media. And we will get that guy in office because the question I have for you guys really is, did you factor in that Donald Trump lost his big brother?
No.
To alcoholism?
No, I didn't.
No, I wouldn't have paid attention to it.
Now, why would that make any difference?
Well, there's a lot kicking around out there about Donald Trump and how he doesn't know sacrifice and loss. And everybody's skipping that part of his life. And did you factor in he's had 3 families and 3 wives? And
oh, yeah. Really, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
6 children?
Yep.
Did that go in there?
But he's got a lot of that he's got going against him. That's not a positive thing at all. As a matter of fact, I think one of the reasons why... Wasn't Newt Gingrich married 3 times, too?
Yes, he was.
So if he had picked Newt and between Donald, that would have been 6 different marriages.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have...
Yeah, and Newt also left his wife, who was really sick at the time. The first one, I think.
I think you guys have been uncanny on most of your time tracks, by the way. That's my interpretation.
We're the only people, and we did this on your show, who said in 2006 that Hillary was not going to be the candidate and was not going to win the election. And everybody thought that was going to happen. And everybody thought that Barack Obama couldn't possibly win a second term. In 2011, on your show, we said Barack Obama is going to win a second term. So, you know, we've gone against the grain over and over and over again.
And I, by the way, reading the time tracks, me, the guy you trained to do this, picked Hillary and Trump.
Yes.
As the two. But, Tom, thank you for that, and we will see what happens. We're only a few months away. It's amazing we're into August, so we're, what, 3 months away from the election? That's it. 3 months and a week. Walter in Pennsylvania, go for it. Walter, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey, Walt.
Well, I can only hope that the people of this country are not foolish enough to elect Hillary and to give her a sycophantic, rubber-stamped Democrat Congress to go with her, because if they do, this nation will cease to be free. It's going to be a de facto dictatorship. George, she says she's not coming to take our guns, but remember what the Clintons did in Waco. Waco, it was an atrocity. It was genocide. They incinerated 100 innocent men, women, and children with tanks, George.
It was a disaster beyond biblical proportions. No matter what happens, no matter what people think, it was a disaster. Well, I think it's very healthy that if you have a Democrat or Republican president, you have an offsetting Congress. Paul, don't you think? I don't think a president should be rubber stamped with anything.
Well, I agree with that, but I think up to a point. I think the obstruction that was going on in the last Congress made it almost impossible to get a road fixed.
This is very emotional, this election.
No kidding. I agree with that.
We have not talked about the protests and the demonstrators. When did they start popping up again?
I honestly think that basically both conventions were very mild, you know, in comparison to 68.
Or even the primaries.
Chicago.
Even some of the primaries.
Right, even some of the primaries. So I don't think that we saw anything that was predicted as far as the demonstrations were concerned.
Look, if I were running Donald's campaign with him, I would sit him down and say, look, I know you think you're your own person and that nobody can tell you what to say or do, but you got to listen to me. You got to be quiet. You can't confront a family of a war hero.
I think he only listens to his kids.
Well, and then they better start telling him.
You know? Really? He was trying to convince Melania... Ivanka, to drop Chelsea Clinton as a friend. And she said, not a chance.
Nick in Gainesville, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hi, Nick. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, Nick.
You know, they got a clown covered in this town, but they should do a lot better. It's just a personal opinion. I am here in Gainesville, and I only have a birth date, but I'd like to know something about my time track.
Well, we're not running them, but go ahead with the question. I'd like to hear it.
Okay, well, that's good, too. I'm going to call in and do all that another time, and I'll call you on Tuesday and elaborate on what I'm going to say next, okay?
Okay.
I've been into a learning process of the things of the Spirit, and I have a word that I would like to speak about, and I don't know who's going to be president. But I got a message as far as I saw a graveyard on the internet on Google, and then I saw a statue. And then the word in between was there's going to be three men, spiritual men or men that are aware of the fullness of who they're supposed to be, whatever realm that works for whoever's religious or non-religious. But what happened in that is the three people were going to be as the statues of the Vietnam War three warriors. And they were of three different races, black, Spanish, white. Now, somewhere in the mix in there is people that's going to carry forth the positive thing that's going to go on. And I don't know or at this point even care who's going to be president because neither one of them qualified. And I used to think Barack Obama wasn't, but I'm telling you what, he's beginning to look like a genius, you know, and that's scary to me. But that's me, okay? That's what I have to say.
All right.
What's
Keep
thinking?
In touch. Keep in touch. I don't know if you can react to that, Paul.
I'm wondering if the audience changes as it gets later. There's no way to respond to it. The man's is talking spiritual stuff, and that's not my forte. So, I will defer to you on that one.
Can you do time tracks on? I mean, NASA's sending up a probe to investigate an asteroid, with hopes that if it has to be diverted, we'll have some knowledge about it by the time it gets really close to us. But could you do time tracks like on the planet?
Well, you know what we did do a time track on, and I don't think you remember this. There was a point at one point where Hubble was going to fall out of orbit and was going to it couldn't see things clearly.
Right, they had to go fix it.
And we did time tracks on Hubble based on the launch date and so on. And I told you that it wasn't going to come out of orbit, and they were going to fix it. And it's been fixed, and it's been lasted now, what, probably 12 years or something?
What a great instrument.
Well past
beyond.
So, yeah, you can do things like that, because what you're doing is you're looking to see if the event is going to turn out to be useful or not, and whether there's going to be, you know, fallout from it that's in some way beneficial. Yeah, you can sometimes do that.
Let's go to Lynn in Roseburg, Oregon, first-time caller. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to the program.
Well, hello, George. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Great. So I have a question for your guest who was relating whether or not Trump would win based on Paul Ryan's time track. So could it be that Paul Ryan's time track is weak because his opponent, who I believe his name is Malin, might win and get Paul Ryan out of the Speaker of the House?
Well,
I doubt that. I really doubt that. I don't see Paul Ryan losing. I just don't see him. I don't see him having the kind of impact
or clout,
exactly, over the next, say, 6 or 7 years that you would expect to be getting from a Speaker of the House. Even Boehner had more activity and benefit going on. And Speakers of the House are usually major players, and we haven't seen a major player in a while, so I don't think that's going to happen. But by the same token, when you run Bill Clinton's run over the next few years, this doesn't look like he's going to be, you know, first man or something either. So there's that to look at, and that's one of the reasons why I don't think that this race is going to be any kind of an easy thing for Hillary, even if she wins.
This is going to be an interesting race, no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, on election night, by the way, November 8th, full 5-hour live program for you that night. Just make sure you remember that. We'll be back. Okay, welcome back to our final segment with Paul Gersio. And Paul, before we take final calls, tell us again about how people can get your app and also get a hold of you folks for any specific information.
Well, the app is available to anyone who has a smartphone. And if you don't know what that is, then you don't have one, chances are. it's the Apple phone or the Android, which comes in a million different manufacturers. There's about 10 times as many Androids as there are Apples, even though Apple seems to be selling quite a few Apple phones. And on the phone, there is an icon that says, on the Apple phones, it says App Store. On the Androids, it says Google Play. You tap that. It will take you to the store that sells these apps. You sign up for it. It's a minimal cost. The app to try it out for a week is 99 cents, it's about $20 some odd a year. Once you learn how to use this, you will never want to be without it, because it's going to give you an advantage in every imaginable situation, whether it's work or investments, relationships, whatever. This will give you an advantage because you'll be the only person in that group who has any idea of what's up around the corner. So to get the app, go to the icon on your phone and tap that, and then go to the App Store or Google Play and download this thing. And there are instructions of how to use it on the app itself. So in other words, and I advise you to read them, because one of the things that the people who get this thing and don't want to read the instructions, which unfortunately is an ever-increasing number of people these days. It's one of the reasons why when you buy a product, an appliance, there's always now a quick start guide, parentheses for lazy people who don't want to read the instructions. And we don't have a quick start guide on the app phones, so read the instructions, and if you have a question, there's a place on there to give us a shout, and we will get back to you about it. If you would like to get in touch with us, there's a 24-hour toll-free number. It's 1-866-298-7688. I'll give it to you again. It's 1-866-298-7688. We're available on the web at Merlin Project Research Group. And our email is Merlin Project, all one word, no spaces, merlinproject@gmail.com. So there's some of the ways you can get in touch with us.
In your career with George and Merlin, is there that one thing that surprised you about this than anything? Was there that wow moment for you?
Yeah, it's when the Soviet Union went belly up at the first time we ran it, and
yeah,
George was so surprised and disappointed because nobody else knew that this was going on except us. We got a lot of publicity afterwards, but again, it's like everything else, you know. Yeah, you sure you said you did that.
Yeah.
One of the nice things about your show, George, and one of the reasons why we love to do it, is it's archived.
That's right. Okay? It's
and
documented.
All of that data is there, yeah. And we save it, and you guys save it, and so we can pull it up and say, here's what we said when we said it. And tonight we're getting a runaround about we said Bernie was going to win. No, we didn't. We said that Bernie had the best time track of anybody running, and that in the final analysis...
And by the way, and I said he wasn't going to win.
Yes, you did.
Reading your time tracks.
That's, well, we were basing it strictly on what the time track said, and the next two time tracks, basically, that had the right kind of stuff going on was Donald and Hillary, and then there was a few others... Chris Christie, who almost became Trump's vice president, and quite frankly, I think he would have been very much happier with that pick than with Mike Pence and Carly Fiorina and Lindsey Graham. Those were the top time tracks this year, and those were the people who looked the strongest even during the debates. And everything else. So we were right about all of that, and we were right about the finalists. So the fact that we didn't get Bernie, and I'll tell you something, if Hillary has to withdraw for some reason or other, and Bernie turns out to be the candidate, boy, are we going to have the last.
Oh, my gosh, what a night that's going to be.
Oh, would it be ever.
All right, final calls here. Let us go to Carol in North Carolina to get this segment going. Hello, Carol.
Hi, George. Hi, Paul.
Thanks for calling.
My son Paul and I will see you in Asheville, George, in a couple of weeks.
Oh, great. You make sure you come up at the meet and greet, too, okay?
Okay. I see a brain aneurysm associated with Hillary Clinton, and I see a time frame of 6 months.
Wow.
Now, I think the 6 months is after the election, but it could be before, which would mean, I guess, this month. The other thing that you haven't talked about is I cannot imagine that the black ops people who control this country and what goes on, I can't imagine them, and I know a couple of them, being happy with either one of the current candidates. So who knows what would come from that and what they might create
well,
or do.
Well, I don't know any black ops people, but I agree with you. I don't think anybody who's really heavily into this is happy with the choices.
Well, the people who usually control what goes on in this country, I can't believe that they would be happy with either one of them or would even settle for them. But anyway, that's to be seen.
Good point. Carol, thank you. This is the whole thing is fascinating. It really is. And then
what's fascinating about it is that it's gone completely off the rails. And it keeps going off the rails, which is why I think with 3 months left, it's likely to go off the rails yet again before we get to the election.
Lou in Westwood, California, it's your turn. Hi, Lou.
Hi, Paul and George. I was thinking about how I was going to present what I'm talking about, but maybe to shortcut it. Do you think adding in some construction dates for Trump would better his thing? In other words, like his Atlantic casinos, if they went bankrupt or if it was a new opening, all pertinent construction dates, would that give a different result?
It might. I think in the case of Trump, it might be the women more.
The what?
The women. More. Melania and Ivanka and what was her name in the middle there?
Did you add those in?
Go ahead, Lou.
I can't remember what her name was.
did you add the ladies' dates in to his thing?
We really didn't because you know early along. Like everyone else, we said this can't be happening, you know. So even though we were looking at these time tracks that said, you know, don't dismiss this guy, and even we would keep forgetting, you know, this guy is a master of the media. We kept saying, nah, this isn't going to happen, and it happened. So yes, sometimes when you add in other dates like that. You get additional information. I'm not sure what dates would have helped in terms of Donald.
Tom is in Montana. Welcome to the program, Tom. You are on the air.
Oh, thank you, George and
sure
Paul.
Thing.
It's really nice to talk tonight.
Very welcome.
I flew as an airline pilot and in the Air Force for about 31 years.
Wow. Thanks for serving, and, by the way.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your service as well.
Thank you.
I was fortunate enough after Gerald Ford left office that he would ride on my commercial airliner and they would always put a Secret Service agent up in the cockpit with each group so they'd have the ability to communicate through the aircraft radios.
Yeah.
And they didn't mind if the crews asked questions and we asked them about Hillary and Bill and they were, you know, you can read now what's in the book and that's very toned down.
Right.
But one of the interesting things that both of the Secret Service people said, who were different guys in front of witnesses, was that Vince Foster was stabbed in the neck by Hillary Clinton and murdered. And I think that that might affect the outcome of the election. I really believe that.
What
and then she called
shot?
Bill and had him Fort Marcy Park, and
George,
nobody found out. So
wasn't he shot?
I think he was shot.
Yeah.
By himself. So I don't think there was a knife involved in that at all.
Yeah, my problem with the Vince Foster thing is that he was shot. He was left-handed, and
his right hand did it.
Yeah.
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 Exactly.
So, that and the no debris on his shoes after walking a half a mile in the woods.
That's right. So Tom, I don't think that's it at all. And again, nobody was ever convicted. It was considered a suicide, regardless of what you think happened.
Yep.
I don't think that's going to be an issue in this campaign at all. Joan in Long Island, New York, east of the Rockies. Hey, Joan, go ahead.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
We're on Long Island.
Yeah, I'm right on the wire, so I'll try to be quick and polite and respectful.
Of course.
I disagree with your guest.
It's okay.
On the he said he didn't think he thought Trump didn't think he would get nominated and he's not serious. Well, here's why that's not true. Trump has told everyone the most important book in his life was Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking. He gives it to everyone. And as his family, his children said, he actually expected to be nominated. He's in it to win. His children swear that he doesn't start anything until he finishes it. I mean, he's in it to win, and he expected to be nominated.
I think his favorite book was The Bible, followed by The Art of the Deal, actually.
That's right. And Norman Vincent Peale, he gives it to everyone.
It's his gift.
We're both right. So I think it's very unfair for you to say that, and I think it's untrue.
Well, here,
the second thing I disagree is you say you're not a psychic, but you're using this computer to make predictions, which is the dictionary definition of a psychic, which is okay, John.
Forecasting is not psychic either. They use computers.
We've had psychics on. Paul's not a psychic, trust me.
No. George is actually a better psychic than I am.
You're a futurist.
Well, yes, but I'm telling you, Dr. Hart is an intuitive guy who's picked up on some stuff that I swear to you didn't come off time tracks. And he doesn't admit to any of that, but, you know, he's been remarkably accurate about certain kinds of things that are not things you could have picked up from a time track. So he's got some very intuitive abilities, but we're not psychic. That's not what we're doing.
No, that is true. Paul, almost out of time, a minute or so to go. Let's squeeze in maybe one more. John in California. Let's get you in here, John. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I feel the whole thing's like WWF, like the old days with Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper, and that's what Trump reminds me of. But I feel Trump has really helped Hillary, and that's what his goal is, by saying all these negative things because he blocked out. He bought his nomination, and he stomped all the Republicans out, and he helped Jimmy Carter in the past. So he helped.
I thought that was true at the beginning too. I thought that Trump had a side deal with the Clintons. I really did. And the more I watched him, the more I thought otherwise. But I think that's partly because he really started to get into this. And as he got into it, if there was some sort of a deal, it fell through. There's something I just wanted to mention really quick.
20 seconds, Paul.
I'm running out of time. The Zika virus, we on your show, we said Ebola is not going anywhere, and it went nowhere. But Zika is going to be a problem.
God, I hope you're wrong on that one. Paul, thanks for being on the program. Again, the website linked up at Coast to Coast. AM.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.